You are now listening to the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network.
Hey there, children, boys and girls. Gather around, I've got a story for you. It's that time of year that you've been waiting for. It's Miserable Mark's Marvelous May. M-A-R-C. M-A-Y, miserable, and I'll tell you why. Just one reason. Yes, only one reason. It seems hard to believe because it's Mark, but I promise you it's only one reason. It's Mark's Miserable Marvelous May. Marvel is why. Don't ask me why. I don't get it, but what can you do with this sky? Mark's Miserable Marvelous May. It's Mark's Miserable Marvelous May. Be what it may, it is Mark's May. Miserable Marvelous Markalis May. Music.
Welcome to the New World Pictures Podcast, where we're going to talk about every movie released by New World Pictures. I'm Ryan. With me, as always, is Mark. And Erica.
Marvelous!
And welcome back to another Mark's Miserable Marvelous May Forever! That's right. Our fourth Mark's Miserable Marvelous May. Much like the Marvel Cinematic Universe, we are coasting on fumes through this month, but we are going to keep this thing going.
Fumes is the right word.
Joining us is a returning guest. You know him from episode 33, Star Crystal. He's a writer and performer, Peter Fluey. Welcome back.
Oh my God, thanks so much for having me, guys. It is a blessing and a joy to be back in May to make Mark's life miserable.
Mark, for those who are just joining us, the fourth iteration of Mark's Miserable Marvelous May, we're going to talk about Marvel-related things because, of course, New World Pictures owned Marvel in the late 80s, and Mark does not like superhero stuff at all, so that's why he's miserable. But I don't know if he could be miserable with this, because we have 1989's X-Men, the pride of the X-Men.
No place to hide, no place to run, no place to run. The mutant has now begun.
Holy shit! Can I hear that again? Damn! X-Men,
ba-da-ba-ba. No place to hide, no place to run, no place to run. The mutant has now begun.
X-Men.
Magneto's horns are on the way to pillage, burn, and plunder. But there's one team that will not yield. The team that strikes like thunder.
X-Men, this is the day.
X-Men, come in your way.
Did that guy harmonize with himself?
I think he did.
May have done.
Hell yes. Yeah.
I could hear the sadness in the singer's voice going, years of playing on Sunset Boulevard, and this is my gig.
I think differently. I think he's like, I went to Juilliard for this. Fucking study classical piano at Juilliard. X-Men, X-Men. X-Men,
save the day, save the day. X-Men, strike like lightning.
They're like, hey, Stan Lee wrote the lyrics to this thing. And he's like, he did? And he'd be like, yeah, he did. Stan Lee wrote the lyrics to the song.
Aww.
Yeah. Huh. Somehow. Anyway, 1989's X-Men, The Pride of the X-Men, brought to you by sandals and socks. There's one fashion trend that's sweeping the teen market in 1989, and that's sandals and socks.
I was all so mad about that.
All the cool kids are wearing them. Don't be left behind. It's a trend that old and young alike can enjoy and is sure to dominate the 90s as well. Right? I mean, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sandals and socks.
That's why that cab driver left her. That's the real reason.
He was like,
get this place out. Gives me the creeps, and you are too young for sandals and socks. Get out. 14? Sandals with socks? Wow. Wow.
It's a choice. It's a choice. It's a choice I remember no one making in 1989. Did people wear that in Chicago in 1989?
In Chicago in 1989, no. Nobody wore sandals and socks. Well, no, old men did.
Yeah,
old
right.
Men.
Mm, right.
Old true. Men, a lot true. Of old men mowing their lawns wore that. But no, a 14-year-old girl, no.
Yeah, those were not sandals like slides or flip-flops like we think of today. It was like indoor-outdoor Minnesota moccasin-style sandals. It was more like a slipper and a sock.
Mm-hmm. Minnesota moccasins.
Well, the way they feel on your feet.
Man.
Get your shoes.
Sandals and socks.
Be careful, Ryan. You might get that commercial you've been wanting.
I mean,
you've been eyeing.
Let's get sandals and socks to
land
truly
that
give us
jingle,
some money.
Ryan.
This pilot was directed by Ray Lee, who also directed the animation for G.I. Joe and the Transformers. And there was voice direction by Stu Rosen, who had done the voice direction for other New World animated shows like Biker Mice from Mars, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, and
yikes,
the RoboCop animated series, which we did talk about on this podcast.
How could I forget?
I did drop a couple of things we haven't.
Ryan, I know we're not at final questions, but I have a question.
Yes?
Will we talk about the Attack of the Killer Tomatoes cartoon on this podcast?
Yes, we will.
Oh, shit. X-Men! Tomatoes to come! Love it. Love that for me. I love that for me. Love that for me. Hate that for Mark.
We yeah. also have a voice cast that has some actors with New World ties, starting with Magneto, voiced by Earl Bowen, who played the main Nestor alien in Battle Beyond the Stars. The Nestor are the guys that all look identical, and so they all think with the same brain, and when he eats a hot dog, they all chew it and taste it. Anyway, and then he would go on to follow James Cameron out of New World, and he was the Doctor in Terminator movies.
Hi, Ryan. It's Erica again. I know we're not at final questions, but don't you think it'd be weird if we had that power as a married couple where, like, I would eat a hot dog and you'd be like, yum.
That would be weird, and I don't think I would like it.
Oh. All right. I'll save the additional questions that this has brought up for later.
It's like when you go to a restaurant and you order two different things and your significant other is like, you
share.
Ask, how is yours? And that person says, it's really good. You want to try it? You're like, no, I'm good with mine. But they won't let it go. They're like, try it. No, you should try it. Try it. Really, try it. And every time when I try it, I don't want that. If I'd wanted that,
so
I would have
ordered
it.
Just eat it angrily, and then you taste it, and you're like, oh, don't do, okay, I didn't want it, but now the taste is in my mouth.
Yes, exactly.
Ryan has the opposite experience at restaurants where I just hose my food so quickly. There wasn't even a chance that he could have a taste even if he wanted to. X-Men! Nothing for Ryan!
By the way, the other voice is Ron Ganz, who voiced Juggernaut in this. He was in 1970's Student Nurses, the very first film that New World released. He did some narration duties as well in Hollywood Boulevard and Death's Port, and was the vampire in Jack Hill's Mondo Keyhole, which we talked about in our Jack Hill series. So, some pretty cool.
Ryan, I know we're ties. Not at. I know that we're not at final questions, but I have a question.
We might as well be at this point. But go ahead.
Juggernaut and is Professor X's stepbrother. Is that from his stepmom, yes, or stepdad?
Stepdad.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Peter.
So
Peter flew away.
Yeah, that's legit.
Follow
that's
up legit. Question: what happened with the marriage? What went wrong?
Why his mom is with Juggernaut's dad?
Mm-hmm.
His dad died. His dad was working for the government and was murdered by the man that she then married, who was the Juggernaut's father. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
And then the Juggernaut's father really liked Charles Xavier and favored him, making the Juggernaut not like Charles Xavier.
All right. So, okay.
That's where the rift came.
Thank you. I mean, I feel like I can enjoy this episode a lot more now.
Now that you know.
I was really stressing, like, well, gosh, well, that's a horrible upbringing. I mean, to tear these two stepbrothers apart like they did, so.
Ooh, we're not right. even done with
hint of non-miserableness detected.
There's plenty to be miserable about, but I'm slightly less miserable about Professor X's upbringing. Juggernaut, I really don't give a shit about, so.
Well, while we're on this, that was actually something I loved about this. I know we're not even through the voice cast, but I actually like that they threw in actual real things from the comic book. What did you think, Peter?
Oh, I mean, like, what's crazy about this is they throw in so much from the comic books. But explain nothing.
Yeah, right, yeah.
This entire thing is going, everybody loves the X-Men. Everyone already knows everything. Let's just get right to the action.
Now, I realize, like, when you're saying, like, when Professor X is like, that's my stepbrother, it has no bearing on the plot of what we're going to discuss in a second.
No.
It doesn't matter to this at all. It's setting up, perhaps, things later. But again, then you'd have to know this episode or the comic books, as Peter's saying, for that to have impact. So in this episode, it doesn't matter. But I still was kind of loving, like, hey, they're trying. They're trying to throw in this.
And I won't lie. I do love it when Xavier says to Juggernaut, Kane, I disapprove of the company you keep. It's like. That sounds like something a brother would say to another brother after one of the brothers has literally burst through their wall and is threatened to murder them. Where it's like, you know what? I should be scared right now, but I'm not going to give you the satisfaction. I'm going to give you a shitty one-liner right now.
Did this happen to you growing up?
Similar. I mean, hands.
Were you the one barging through the wall?
Every single one of us, except for the youngest, both me and my older brother, have burst through doors, come close to bursting through walls, leapt from the top of stairs, shot each other at point blank range with paintball guns.
Wow.
And yeah, and then, you know, just like Professor Xavier, I'd look at my brother after he threw a cue ball directly into my head and then was rushing towards me. I'd say, my problem with you, Steven, is the company you keep.
You got him. You got him. You had the last laugh.
I did.
One last voice in this voice cast who does not... doesn't have New World history, but I knew I recognized the voice of Cyclops.
Thank you.
It's a mutant alert. Our training session's over. We're needed.
Gold strip. Selena said it would interrupt control. I must concentrate. Concentrate!
Yes, that's Michael Bell, who also voiced Duke in the G.I. Joe cartoon. So,
oh, that was G.I. Joe?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's
like something else.
I know we're not at final asking for a new career, but God, I would love to be a voice on a cartoon. Any cartoon. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I have a shitty voice, but you could probably throw it in there in a cartoon.
You can make it work. Great voice.
Can make it work.
You know what? There was plenty of shitty voices and good voices in this.
Oh my God, Wolverine! What was happening with Wolverine's voice?
Nothing but pure gold.
Let's get to that in a second. Here's where you can watch Pride of the X-Men. You can get the VHS, which is what we have. You can get that on eBay, where all fine quality goods are sold.
Get it now.
Go get it
quick.
It is on YouTube, and you can find it, and you can watch. It's 23 minutes long, but it will last 45 minutes with the commercials that they throw at you during the viewing. But you can see it on
YouTube. The
YouTube
version has commercials.
Oh, it's got ads galore.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I should have watched
ads
that
all over
one.
The place.
Like ads from 1989.
No, it's not filled. It's just one of the YouTube. Videos with ads. So no, it's current ads. An old. I wish it was the old. Yeah.
So it's just a bunch of eczema medicine that's targeted for me. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, your superpower. That's your superpower.
My skin doesn't work. Watch out, Magneto. I'm itchy and flaky. I'll show
you. I'm going to get my flakes on you.
These scales might get in your eyes. Is it contagious? No, it isn't. It's hereditary.
Insolent middle-aged woman, get away from me.
All right, let's talk about what this movie is about. Mark, what is Pride of the X-Men about?
If society had just been kinder to mutants... these people would all just have regular day jobs.
Yeah, they would.
Instead, they are forced into warfare. And I think that's unfair. Because...
agreed.
Like, think
agreed.
About it. No, think about it. Colossus, he could have had his own Siegfried and Roy Vegas show where the lions are constantly attacking him. He'd just be like, not going to hurt me. But no, he has to go fight all the time. I mean... just would have had tigers just attacking him and he'd be like, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cyclops, yeah, he would have had just, Cyclops would have just had a regular job, but a big house, right?
Cyclops would have been a cat trainer with those laser eyes. He'd have been like, pew, 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 watch this. Every cat
He's got a 6,000 square foot house with all the lights on. He's never paid an electric bill. He just goes to the little battery pack by next to the house, turns on the eyes for a minute, beep, recharge. His friends come over. They're like, dude, your bill must be crazy. He's like, no. I got this bad boy. I haven't paid an electric bill ever in my life.
His friends sound really cool and fun. Hey, man, what's your electric bill?
I ask that of my friends all the time.
I'm jealous of his
dude,
friends.
Cyclops is rolling in it, bro. Because he has
his
lights on all day.
Eczema woman asking about an electric bill.
I'd love to spend that much money on, electricity. I'm spending it on eczema medicine, so.
Don't judge me. I'll flake on you.
Cyclops is working at H&R Block, so that's the kind of people he's rolling with. You know, he's just an accountant, you know, with an accountant that can recharge the electricity in any room he goes into. He uses
H&R Block, he's not dishing out financial advice. He's like, guys, we're spending a little too much on snacks. We need to limit the snacks budget. Cyclops, would you just shut up? I'll beam you.
So, even in his regular job, everyone still hates Cyclops. Got it. Yeah. Poor
guy.
You
know how much I get a tax write-off off these glasses every year. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. What a dick.
Oh, Peter, what is Pride of the X-Men about?
Oh my God, Pride of the X-Men? It's about one girl's coming of age and an Australian who won't let her come of age.
Yep.
Ooh, yeah.
Australians hate nothing more than coming of age.
It's true.
They're like, well, stay young.
I think that the Australian in this particular pilot was probably in the right through the whole thing.
Yeah.
There was definitely a point where they're like, take it easy on her. She's 14. And it's like, no, all of you should be much harsher to her. You are literally like, let's throw her at some terrorists.
Yeah. She's not ready for this.
Erica, what is Pride of the X-Men about?
What is Pride of the X-Men about? Family drama. We all saw it. We already kind of talked about it. It is family, unresolved family drama. When Juggernaut bursts through his stepbrother's mansion, family drama. And then what does Charles do? Make it somebody else's problem again. Classic Charles. Here you go, child. You know what? I have two kids. Neither of them is 14, but one was 14 at one point. How's that? And I would never, even my most responsible child of the two, never hand that child the keys to the kingdom and be like, protect this. No, never. That's absurd. That's crazy. Yep. You know what Charles should have done? Should have fucking swallowed it. I know it's large and it might not have fit in his mouth, but he should have fucking swallowed it. Or hit it with his mind. But instead he handed it to a child.
Yeah.
Charles is an idiot and he's a terrible babysitter. That's what this episode is about. Never trust. That's why it's Charles Xavier's Home for Mutants, not Charles Xavier's Daycare. Because he's a terrible protector of children.
But Erica, I could not swallow it. I can't use my legs and I also have a very thin esophagus. But I can read minds.
I'd be like, read my mind right now, Charles. Swallow it.
I can't. I'll choke.
We didn't see the scene. It got cut out, but there's a scene where Charles throws a cue ball out the window and it hits Juggernaut in the head. And then he charges into the mansion. So he knew what he was up to. For me, you know, we kind of already touched on this, but I'm going to return to this theme again and again in this episode. But she's 14, guys. Okay? Get your back off.
Yeah.
Get your back off. She's 14. Okay? Get you calm down. Calm down. Yeah. Take a cold shower and calm down.
He should have never admitted her into the mansion.
Ugh,
she should not even have been admitted. She should have been turned back around, go home, make a friend, don't warp through walls or whatever.
But here's the thing, is he sent her a note. He's basically blackmailing her to come and visit him. Because he literally sent her a letter going, I know what you can do, and I know you call it phasing, walking through walls. I'll tell everybody you know you're a dirty, filthy mutant unless you've come to my mansion. I mean, that's basically what he's done.
So he's it's basically the start of this episode is to catch a predator.
Yeah.
That's what this episode really is.
Off camera, they're talking to Dr. Xavier, whatever the fuck his name is, and going, you're free to go. The police are out there, but you're free to go. You can walk out anytime. I guess he wouldn't actually say walk out, but you get my drift.
Here's the letterbox synopsis, Peter. It's time to see if you can log back into your letterbox account.
Frank, let's see if my computer remembers. Letterboxed.
You can log this into your letterbox account. But here's the synopsis. I'm just reading this as it's written. Pilot for unproduced X-Men series for NBC, focusing on the matter-phasing Shadowcat, alias Kitty Pryde. She was called Shadowcat in the comics. Shadowcat doesn't come up in this at all. She's just Kitty Pryde in this. We don't know that she's Shadowcat, but oh well. Magneto and the Brotherhood of Mutant Terrorists plan to divert the Scorpio comets to Earth. Sort of a late addition to the plot, but sure. Hoping to create a new ice age for humanity and the era of mutant supremacy. Hold on. That detail doesn't... Didn't realize that's what they were doing. They were just going to destroy the Earth, as far as he ever explained.
But if the comet got to Earth, it would block the sun for years to come, which would, I guess, make an ice age at that point.
I mean,
they just don't explicitly say it. That's what they say.
Well, yeah. Hold on. Magneto doesn't explicitly say it. The X-Men, through a series of very quick sentences, say it'll block out the sun. That'll cause a new ice age. But Magneto at no point goes, here's my plan. Right. This is what we're doing.
right. No.
But, like, I love the fact they've literally said, you know, let's treat this like if it's the real world. The Brotherhood of Evil Mutants already know what this plan is. It'd be weird for Magneto to re-explain it to them. So he will just say, I've got the Scorpio or Capricorn or whatever comet it is.
Yeah. Scorpio.
Is it Scorpio? Yeah, hold on, Peter.
It's up to the X-Men and new recruit Kitty to follow the Magentic Menace. They misspelled magnetic. Magentic Menace to his spacebound asteroid M, and foil his plan. So that's where he was. He's just in space. I didn't realize that was his asteroid M that he was on. Missed that. I know it's like a part asteroid-looking spaceship that he's on at the end, but didn't
realize. They just say the observatory.
It was called Asteroid M. Anyway. Yeah, I mean, I didn't ever hear him relay his plan or call this, now here on Asteroid M, we can finally send the Scorpio. Anyway, well, here we go.
Oh my gosh, you guys, we were all wrong. This episode is actually about how the Youngs are going to save us. We were all wrong.
Oh, yeah. In sandals and socks. Correct. Yeah.
They're bringing back / introducing sandals and socks.
They're cosplaying as old to throw us off their scent.
Mm. Yeah. And then they're going to just save us. They're going to save our old fucking wrinkly asses. For reasons unknown.
Okay, reset the letterbox password for Peter Fouet. Okay.
Of course, listeners, the real NWPP VIPs know that Peter, live during our episode, I believe on Bad Manners, started a letterbox account.
Pride of the X-Men.
And only tries to log back in during his appearances.
Exclamation point. Same password, never.
Okay, so let's get into it. This is a pilot that Marvel Productions produced. Stan Lee, who was working at Marvel Productions at the time, he was trying to create Marvel properties into movies and TV shows. And he shows up in this, narrating the show. It would be coming out of each commercial break.
Welcome. This is Stan Lee of Marvel Comics warning you to look around you, your classmates, your friends. You never know which one of them may be a mutant, a person born with strange and wondrous powers. Now, some mutants, like the X-Men, use their special gifts for good. But then there are the terrorist mutants who plan to destroy the human race. Mutants. I hate them.
Stan Lee seems to be saying... Look out. Be aware. Look around every corner. There could be mutants. He's more trying to project mutant scare, I feel like, than he is trying to set the scene here. He's like, be aware of your surroundings. There could be mutants everywhere. Some of them are good, but a lot of them are evil. So I don't know. Does he hate mutants?
I think the general feeling of society at the time is that they all hate mutants. Because the taxi driver can't wait to speed away from, he can't wait to get away from where he drops off Kitty Pride. She's, you know, afraid that she feels, you know, like an outcast because she's afraid to be called a mutant, which obviously is calling back to societal pressures against mutants. Also, Stan Lee is way too excited with this intro. Like, there's way too much energy going into this.
He did this at 11. It was like, dude, too much. Stan,
let's do a calmer version. He always it was 11 all the time. That's all he could do.
And I think for me, listening to it even again, it was just it plays as like mutants are everywhere. look out! It's like, is that what Stan Lee wants to be telling people? This is, he created this. Anyway, they do not like mutants, and but they've captured Magneto. The military has captured Magneto. How did they catch him? How on earth was he ever captured by them?
Probably like the same way we all would be, which is like, I don't know, free food, place to sit down. I don't know.
A comfortable restaurant with free food. He's like, well, this is something I can get behind humanity. Maybe they're not so bad. Wait, what is this? I'm being captured? Oh, I knew humans were terrible. I was right all along. You just wooed me in with your Michael Bolton on the speakers. The smell of fresh bread.
Oh, I can't deny that Rudy Tooty fresh and fruity. I'm assuming he's always going to IHOP. Anyway, move on.
Yeah, of course. Why wouldn't he be? So Kitty Pryde next. Yes, she goes to what I presume is Xavier's School for Gifted Children. Did they ever say that? I don't know, but I assume that's what, or Xavier's house. Who knows? Anyway, he lures Xavier's her there, as Peter mentioned, by writing her a note, even though he could just speak to her in her own mind, with his mind. He could just do that. That's his power. He could, but, well, he doesn't. He writes her a note. He gives her the courtesy.
The courtesy of
being a creep in a letter. She's 14, guys. She's 14, okay?
I mean, I can't call my bank without them saying that the phone call is being recorded for quality assurance. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure he's breaking a lot of laws by listening into the heads of anyone that is a quote-unquote mutant in the world.
Try to write this in the nicest way you can. Hey, I know your secret. Come to my house and let's talk about it.
Wait. Scratch.
How do you write that in any way that's like, no, I'm not a creep. I'm not creepy. This is cool. Yeah. This is normal.
Really did I mention cool. My house is a mansion?
Wait, no. That's too aggressive.
And that my stepbrother's a juggernaut.
And that my wheelchair has tank treads on it. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Did I mention sandals with socks are cool and chill here?
P.S. Don't tell your parents. Probably shouldn't include that.
Don't bring them into this. Anyway, she goes to his house. He lets her know she's a mutant. He introduces her to the X-Men. Cyclops, Storm, Dazzler, Colossus, Nightcrawler, and another one I can't quite recognize.
X-Men, welcome Kitty Pryde.
I'm sorry. I guess I phased through the computer.
She has the power to walk through solid objects, a power known as phasing.
Kids! It is good, little one. Colossus like rain.
Fräulein, you left before I could properly welcome you.
Welcome her? Wait, she's not joining the X-Men, is she? She's just a kid.
Wait. Who was that Australian superhero?
You mean the greatest voice acting for Wolverine ever? I am literally surprised Marvel Comics didn't retcon him being from Canada and said, we should be going with this.
Yeah. Was that Hugh Jackman just in his natural voice?
I also love the idea that as they were putting this pilot together, someone said, where are Wolverines from? And someone said, Australia. And they were like, that's the only way I can think that this happened.
Did like in the booth, when the guy comes in to do Wolverine, did they mix up the sheets? They just fell, you know, like all the sheets flew in the air. And he just handed him the one for Pyro, where it's like, he's Australian. Oh, Wolverine? Okay, I'm playing Wolverine, but this sheet said Australian, so okay, here we go.
Or maybe it's like me when I do improv and try to do an accent. Like, it always turns Australian.
Like, he got into the booth and was like, they're like, just do a simple Canadian accent. Well, what do you mean by that? It's pretty much just American, just a little more polite. And if it was me, I'd start by being like, yeah, I'm happy to be here on the new World Pictures podcast. You know, how you mate?
No, wait, what?
How's your mate going, Mark? I'm from Canada. Is it miserable yet? You cockney piece of shit. That ain't even Australian.
Oh, it's amazing. His voice is incredible, and they got the anger part right, but wow. I mean, really, again, for something that I was like, they are trying to get all these other real facts from the comics, they're trying to get all this stuff right, and they get one huge thing wrong. It's just on purpose, it seems. It's just it's crazy.
So I know we're again not at final questions, but I wanted to ask while we're talking about Wolverine, when they introduce his character, they say that his claws can cut through almost anything known to man. What can't it cut through?
Adamantium.
D's nuts.
The kids are coming to save us.
There's all right. Her nuts have so much eczema on them, there's no way you can cut through them.
Like to see you try.
The X-Men are called away to space, no less, to investigate the appearance of two of Magneto's mutants. And I have to say, I love the fact that they just jet off to space. It's perfect for a cartoon. Oh, a quick flight to space. See you guys. We got to go to space real quick. We'll be right back. But it's kind of actually, weirdly, it's also keeping with the comic book, right?
Absolutely. Like, that's, again, what's so weird is they have things like Asteroid M, and they literally fly their supersonic jet into space to take on Magneto. Like, there's hints of all these, like, classic X-Men stories that are happening here, just with slightly different characters and no context. Like, absolutely none. Because, like, you know, in the comic books, it's Jean Grey that nearly dies falling back to Earth. But in this one, it's Nightcrawler. Although, to be fair, that dude should have been crisped. He should have just been toast. He should have just been destroyed.
He should have died well before that.
Well before that, yeah.
As he's trying to connect energy that's just flowing through his body. Like, that's it, right? You're dead there. Not just then hurtling through space.
Nightcrawler, keep electrocuting yourself. It's the only way to save us all.
Nightcrawler also gets into the spaceship with Wolverine. Like, couldn't you just teleport yourself to where you're going and just meet him there? Why do you need a ride?
Oh, because he can only do line of sight teleportation, which was said in the Danger Room.
Just look up at the sky.
I can't believe I... You know
what? Oh, shit! Mark is in deep. For someone who's quote-unquote miserable, you seem pretty fucking invested to me, okay?
Well, also, he's falling down towards Earth, and they're like, we have to go get the claws and grab him back. Just turn around, look back at the ship, blink your eyes, you'll be back on. You don't have to fall back down to Earth at all. You're the one person that can just hop back onto the ship if you just look at it.
And he did. That's exactly what he did, Mark.
Yeah, but that also begs the question, how did he see into the locker?
Right, to get exactly. In there? Yeah, I don't know. That like, he really keyed in on that window, that cockpit window. He just sobbed past the pilots. Just really towards the back where the locker was. Oh, I'm going to get in that locker.
I know it so well. It's where I masturbate. I know it's the only place I can think of. That I know every single inch of.
Who's in that locker again? Is that Kurt? Are you? Oh, Kurt. This is not Damn a place it, for your Kurt. Base desires, okay?
Kurt, don't make me report this. You've already been written up 2 times this month. Come on, man. Cut me some slack here. Oh, We're man. In fucking space, dog. Come on.
But again,
Kurt, I'm using your government name, Kurt. Kurt.
But Kurt. He's like, but there's no gravity up here.
Kurt Elizabeth, don't make me use your full name.
It just floats all over.
Kurt.
Oh, Stomp, no, but I'm sure that the crew of the Artemis II have some stories. Don't come on. Don't. They weren't always just recording blogs.
They were also recording porns.
Space porns.
Space yeah. porns.
So, speaking of space, they leave space, they come back to Earth, of course they do. Just, you know, it takes it just a, it's just a zip up, zip back. And then they see that, of course, the Professor X and Kitty have been attacked because Magneto wants Cerebro's mutant power circuit. Which, as we mentioned, all Kitty has to do is run away with it and use her powers so Magneto can't get it. But she can't do it, can she?
No, she can't because she's a child.
She's a kid. Yeah.
She's running through walls and lockers and not getting any further ahead of him. And he's walking around all those things and just keeping up with her.
I can't get my teenager to hang up their fucking towel. Do you think if I'm like, hey, this is super important, the fucking world's population depends on it, they're going to be like, can my brother do it? Like, not happening.
Oh, man, I almost choked. That is so true. That's so real.
Kitty, kids in our run house. Away. Quickly, run away. I have. You're in the hallway. Keep running. You must keep running. I've run. What running do you... Run!
Kitty, please stop fighting me. Just run. I'm fucking tired.
Yeah.
I'm tired.
Is this far enough? I mean, shit.
You just said run. You didn't say run out of the mansion. All right, well, world's population done. Zip. Done.
Oh, man, she isn't just incapable of doing anything. But, so, of course, Magneto gets the mutant power circuit. And in space, meanwhile, the X-Men confront Blob and Pyro. But the Blob and Pyro get away because they do a blaze of fire that Storm is able to stop because of her weather powers. But they are in space.
But also, like, when in doubt, when you need to make a quick getaway, fire. Yeah. Am I right?
Yeah, just Spoke, fire.
Just fire.
Fire, which I guess also in space is just burning up whatever oxygen they have inside.
Yeah. Inside there, too. It isn't too. The smartest choice, but it's the blobbest choice.
So then she uses her weather powers, which somehow work in space. I don't know how that works, but there you go. Yeah.
But yet Colossus can't use his powers in space. Because so his powers don't.
Well, the Blob is also work. That was really to show Blob's powers, because Blob's powers essentially is I'm huge and I can't be moved.
Yeah.
No matter what. I guess that which was like okay. I guess we know what you do. I guess.
Peter, does the Blob have any additional powers other than just heft?
He is super strong. But other than that, no, not really. He just. Cannot be moved.
Love it.
Which in 1963 was a, you know, just real mind-blowing power. And now here we are, some 60-odd years later, going, there's people like that all over the country.
It's less super now at this point.
It seems a little like... I live in North Carolina now. I see people that will not be moved all over the place.
Yeah. It also seemed like he later on when they go back to space, so we're skipping ahead, but they go back to space and then have a real showdown and Nightcrawler goes and to fight him. And then it seems like Blob gets bigger because all of a sudden Nightcrawler looks like he's like miniature. I was like, can he get bigger somehow? I don't know. I think the perspective was just really weird and off, but it felt like Blob's like a giant now because Nightcrawler's like this big. Just me? I'm the only one? Okay, that's fine.
No, I mean, I feel more like, you know, again, one thing I liked about this was the animation. I think the animators were like, how do we make someone just being real husky, exciting, and threatening? Let's get a good camera angle on this. I mean, it's not growing, but it's like, how do we make this overweight guy just seem like a real threat to everybody?
Right.
You know, this overweight guy who should be wearing different clothes that are more flattering to his form.
Who's dressed like an 80s wrestler.
You know what he needed? Just some socks with sandals.
Thank
you. Taking off those boots and just put some...
It would have been like really fashionable then. He would have looked great.
If you, the listener, are listening to this episode and you're saying to yourself, I thought this was just a 22-minute pilot. It sounds like there's a ridiculous amount of characters in this episode. You would be right. There are too many characters in this. I had a hard time keeping up. And it's only 22 minutes long.
Yeah. They throw a lot at you for 22 minutes. Speaking of, when the X-Men come back to Earth and they see that Kitty Pryde and Professor X have been attacked, Professor X is passed out and they put him up on the table and then he sits up and he's like, Kitty? But his leg moves when he sits up. One of his legs moves. I was like, did he get cured?
He could walk the whole time. He was faking it.
He's a liar. Shit. Which again, let's go back to the beginning of this. He wrote her a note. Come to my house. I know your secret. Trust me, I'm good. I'm not a creep. I'm a good guy. This isn't creepy. But leave your parents. Don't bring them. Don't bring your parents. Just come alone. Just you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't tell them about it. Show up. I know who you are, really. And I have a big, giant house. And I'm rich. And just come to my house. And I'm in a wheelchair,
I've already sent an Uber to come pick you up. It's out in front of your house right now.
Yeah. Taxi is the Uber of the 80s.
I did not notice that his leg moved. That's wild.
Yeah. He has it's one leg. When he sits up, it totally moves. I was like, oh my gosh. yeah, it's very funny.
So we've proven in this episode he's a liar, he's a creep, and he has no ability to do any sort of strategic planning. Because his plan at the beginning that he set up defenses to protect the whatever thing that he has in his mansion, that completely fails. Then,
well, that's because she phases into the computer and it ruins the whole defense system.
But still, Magneto, they just break down the walls and break into his house. Because
there's no defense system. She ruined it. She ruined it, and then that's the point, Mark. She ruined the defense system, and then he's like, here, take the most precious thing, the thing he's looking for the most, which you've allowed him to get close to because you've ruined the security system. Here, hold this and keep it safe. You who ruined all of this.
So he created a defense system.
And are 14 years old.
He created a defense system to protect himself from Magneto and his band of terrorist mutants, and he set up zero redundancy. She ruins it in one quick swipe. He hands the most precious thing he has to a 14-year-old, asking her to protect it, and then she feels bad because she put the rest of the team in danger, and when she just simply says, but I feel it's my fault, he's like, sure, you go fight. That's also a terrible plan and took almost zero convincing.
Not a good plan.
To say, fine, you're 14, but figure it out. Enjoy.
I'm 14, but I feel guilty, so I'm going to space with everyone else to fight Magneto. He said, all right, best of luck. I got to stay down here because of these legs that don't work, quote unquote.
It's a problem in space to have your legs not work when you're floating everywhere.
It's a real issue in zero gravity. The one time he can be free of the chair. Or he's probably free of the chair every time people aren't around. And he's like, oh,
not an issue for Nightcrawler.
Stands up, pins and needles, pins and needles, pins and needles. I've been sitting so long. So they go back to space the second time in a day, no big whoop. The X-Men fight the evil mutants. They defeat them. We talked about how Nightcrawler goes hurtling into space and everybody thinks he's dead. Surprisingly, nobody is more distraught than Kitty.
No, no, he can't be dead. He just can't be. No! I was so mean to him. Now I can never make it up to him.
I just can't believe it. Nightcrawler is... What's that?
Back there! Nightcrawler, my little tovarish, you're not dead after all, no?
I would hope not. But I would have been, if not for Kitty Pryde.
Thank you. That was the bravest, most unselfish thing I've ever seen in my life. Don't you agree?
Very, very selfish.
There's too much kissing in that scene. She's 14, you creep. He keeps kissing her hand. Mm. She's 14, bro. What are you doing? So creepy.
Also, you're consulting a tiny dragon to see if that's the bravest thing that you've ever seen?
Yeah.
We don't know what that tiny dragon has seen. Come on.
I barely know where that tiny dragon came from.
Yeah.
Just where happened tiny to be dragon come in from? Magneto's asteroid ship.
Yeah.
That's their genesis for Lockheed. I yeah. By the way, who is voiced by Frank Welker, who does Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
Man, that was a great 3 minutes of work for him.
It was like one of 15 shows he did that afternoon. He got home and his wife was like, "You're back?" He's like, "Yeah. I just recorded 20 shows."
She's like, "Ruh, ruh." She got him a little snack.
A couple quick questions and final questions before we go to some research. Why was Dazzler there?
I don't know. Why was White Queen there? I mean, weirdly, why were any of the women there?
Yeah. Well, Storm got him out of that pickle in space with their storm powers.
Yeah.
And we know why Kitty Pryde's there, because everybody is really creepy for a 14-year-old. But yeah, the rest, I don't know. Mark, do you even remember the White Queen that she was in this? Do you recall that?
I don't. Was she in it?
The White Queen at least
there's
gets
a lot of
to,
characters.
She gets to save Magneto in the very beginning, but what she does once they come back.
Yeah, she shows up in her tactical lingerie and throws a... telepathic harpoon and freeze him.
Yep. The diamond, skin, that's save that for another episode. We don't need to do
I
that.
I call dibs on tactical lingerie. All right? I'm going to open a line of tactical negligees that are for the working woman.
Some might argue all lingerie is tactical, if you think about it. There's tactics to it. It wasn't Magneto's helmet supposed to block Professor X from reading his thoughts? Or am I just thinking the movies?
That's the comic book and the movies and all canon about Magneto.
That's what I thought. But he comes in and he's got the helmet and Professor X is like, "Don't worry, I can read his thoughts." I was like, "You can?"
Then it feels like a lot of this shouldn't be necessary.
Yeah, he's feel like, I mean, he's attacking you. What do you think he wants? Do you need to read his mind or just like put some logic together?
But I would say even beyond that, if he can read Magneto's mind and he is the greatest mutant terrorist in the world, why are you keeping tabs on a 14-year-old girl and sending her a letter when you should be like just doing nothing but calling the FBI and Homeland Security about what the greatest mutant terrorist is up to.
Right, like, you I don't can even read his mind. I know where he is right now. He's taking a shit.
He's verbally abusing the toad right now.
Yeah, he's trying to get a free lunch right now.
It's his birthday. He gets a free lunch.
Yeah. Yeah, let's move on to some research. So, like I said, this was produced as a pilot, but it was actually produced because it was they took the budget for what was going to be the 13th episode of RoboCop the Animated Series, took that money and created this pilot for the X-Men. But at the time, in 88, 89, New World was having a lot of money problems. And so they ended up stopping production on all the animated series once they sell, I believe, Marvel, the exception being of Muppet Babies, because you got to keep that train rolling. But they had produced this, and I think I saw some newspaper articles that Stan Lee was going to appear at the Wonderful World of Comics convention in Oakland, California, in April 1988, and they were going to view the new X-Men show. But whether or not they actually did play the pilot there, I'm not entirely sure, but there was a couple different newspapers that were reporting that they were going to show that there. But they do finally air this pilot in February 1989, right after the Marvel Action Universe block, which they were doing at the time, which they had Dino Riders and the Spider-Man animated series, or Spider-Man. Maybe not the animated series in the 90s, but it was a different Spider-Man. That was their Marvel Action Universe block. And then they would after that, they played X-Men. That's in February 1989. This is just as New World has sold Marvel in January 1989. They sold basically Marvel Entertainment Group for $82.5 million. The guy who buys New World sells it. And but he keeps Marvel Productions, which essentially into the 90s just creates various, cartoon shows, which is why we have plenty more to talk about for Mark's miserable Marvelous May. And eventually it becomes New World Animation right at the tail end of New World's history in the mid-90s when they get sold to Fox. But this pilot does have some legacy to it. It was what inspired the Konami arcade video game that I put a lot of quarters into. Not the one that was for, I think they did, there was a PlayStation game. Not that. Just the arcade game. Did anyone else play it? Was it just me?
I did too. I honestly thought that the arcade game came first. What a fun fact this was.
Yeah, it came a couple years later. I think it came out in 92. So this, this is 89. Speaking of 89, that's when they released it on video in April 1989. This is just as New World essentially has been sold and is closing its doors. So boy, did they put out a whole lot on video around this time in April 1989, starting with the X-Men. A band of mutant superheroes works together to foil the evil Magneto's plan to destroy the Earth by putting it into the course of a comet. $15. But also released, not bad, they also released Poker Alice, a made-for-TV Western comedy when a New Orleans card sharp, I think they meant shark, card sharp, wins a bronze. That's what they said. I've never heard of a card sharp. Maybe a sharp card? Did they cut the edges? I think you'd be able to read it. I don't know. Anyway, wins a brothel at the game table. Her charming cousin offers to help her run the place. Elizabeth Taylor, Tom Skerritt, George Hamilton. $60.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
Also, The Gunrunner. Violence and corruption permeate 1926 Montreal.
So true.
We all know how violent Montreal was in the 1920s.
If there's two things I know, it's about how Montreal was very violent in the 20s and the Avignon Papacy. So that's all I'm going to say right now. Continue your fun facts. Oh, did I mention that I was in Washington, D.C. and met a cardinal and then threatened him with the Avignon Papacy? It was a fun thing I just do.
You know how to live. So, in 1926 Montreal, where a rebel gunrunner finds himself unwittingly drawn into a power struggle, that stars Kevin Costner, Paul Soles, and Gerard Parks. Yeah, an early Kevin Costner movie that New World sat on for many years and then finally released onto video. The Gunrunner, $90. But not just do we get a made-for-TV comedy western and a violent Canadian story about gunrunners. We also get a horror film, Pin. A mentally disturbed young boy develops a penchant for knocking off anyone who comes too close to his newfound friend, a plastic figure. Terry O'Quinn stars. $80.
That sounds really scary.
Oh, I can't wait for Pin. But also,
me too.
The other video that Stan Lee is trying to get people to buy in this comic book ad behind me, How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way. Founder of Marvel Comics and creator of Spider-Man teams up with the artist behind Conan the Barbarian and Silver Surfer to teach viewers the mechanics of their craft. $20.
Fair. I'd spend $20 on that now. Why not?
Also an instructional video, Street Violence. You can protect yourself. From 1977, police officer Lydon Griffith of the New York Housing Authority demonstrates techniques people can use to avoid street crimes. $15. Keeping it cheap.
Did you say 1977?
Yeah, it was from 1977. Yeah.
And they released it in 1989?
1989.
You think some things might have changed in those 11 yeah. years? 12
this
years?
This advice seems somewhat sound, but it is 20 years old.
Listen, when you see some jive cats heading toward you, put the keys into your fist. Now you've got adamantium claws, like Australia's favorite superhero, Wolverine.
Oh. Your neighbor's playing that disco music too loud. Oh man, yes. So that is it. That is it for X-Men Pride of the X-Men. Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it was a blast, Peter. You guys. Thank you for having me.
You know, 23 minutes of just total joy. Do you have any final thoughts about X-Men Pride of the X-Men?
You know what I do want to say before I go is I actually did like the animation.
Yeah, me too. Oh, it's very comforting. Yeah. It's like all the same kind of animation of like G.I. Joe and Transformers at the time.
And weirdly, I think slightly better. I mean, it has better animation than the actual very popular X-Men cartoon that came out later.
In the 90s,
That genuinely like kind of surprised me. But I'm like, wow, it looks this good. If only there was an interesting story to go along with it. But like I said,
and less creepy.
Yeah.
But,
you know, I got some wonderful voiceover performances in this that I think is worth watching. It'll take you 20 minutes. And, you know, you literally haven't lived till you heard the Blob say, I'm the Blob.
Some compelling stuff for sure. Yeah. Well, Peter, where can people find you? Where do you want to direct people if they want to look you up? Or do you have anything you want to plug?
Right now, I'm doing shows in Charlotte, North Carolina at Charlotte Comedy Theater. You can also occasionally find me at Viz Art Videos once a month on Thursday. Viz Art Videos, the largest video store on the Eastern Seaboard. Hopefully, maybe one day, the New World Pictures podcast will stop by and do a show there.
That would be amazing. You sent me pictures of that store, and it looks like heaven. That is fantastic.
Pretty incredible. But you can find me on all the socials at Peter Fluet. And please check out my dog at Sanji_Magoo at Instagram.
Sanji!
The cutest dog. Follow Peter on Letterboxd, please. Because the next time he's on, he's going to be able to find all of his new followers.
Let him have a surprise when he logs in next.
Did you get in?
I did. And did I post in it? I did.
Oh, look at that.
Yes.
I'm glad you can spend this time not only talking about the show, but also being able to kind of catch up with what you've been watching, you know, and logging it. for your next podcast appearance.
I look forward to a year from now when we do the appendectomy of the Incredible Hulk, and I'll go into my letterbox and I'll say, "Oh, all right, we were watching X-Men this time."
That's right. Oh God! The appendectomy.
God, I wish that really existed.
I wish. Oh boy, how great would that be? Oh, well, for all of our information, you can go to our website, newworldpicturespodcast.com. You can listen to all of our past episodes, including episode 33, Star Crystal.
I need the numbers, guys. Please download it.
And we'll see you next time on the New World Pictures Podcast, a part of Someone's Favorite Productions Podcast Network. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for listening. To hear more shows from the Someone's Favorite Productions podcast network, please select the link in the description.
Are you a film fan who loves the ultimate home video experience? Look no further than The Disconnected. Your host, Ryan Verrill, is your go-to source for the latest and most accurate information on home video releases, exclusive interviews with industry insiders and filmmakers, and has established a thriving community where every film and physical media enthusiast feels welcome. From hidden gems to blockbuster hits, The Disconnected brings you insider knowledge and a welcoming space to share your love of cinema. Watch every Thursday night at 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific for the live announcements show and follow The Disconnected on social media to stay updated. Subscribe to The Disconnected on YouTube or on the podcast provider of your choice and dive into a world where every movie night is an adventure.